This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right now, 135, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Start off here with my man, Admiral David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and get a midweek update on inventory. Hey, David.
Hey, bud. Inventory's good, but we're starting to realize it doesn't matter what we've got on the ground because we can go find whatever they want. You know, you and I talk about that all the time, and I know people probably get tired of hearing it, but we had another customer yesterday came in and looking for a 2025 Kia K5, and we found them one, bought it. It'll be here tomorrow, and they'll pick it up. So it's just so easy. I mean, it's just easy to come out, and if we don't have on the ground what you're looking for, you got to understand, don't pass us by because you don't see it. Come inside, let us find it for you. I mean, this is a, you know, pretty, almost a brand new car. It's got 14,000 miles on it, so we can do it all, whatever you need.
Also, financing options have been looking better and better.
Yeah, and these folks, they wanted to finance it with their bank, and we ended up beating their rate by 0.5%, which can be a lot of money on $25,000, mm-hmm. You know. And I think our term was even better, so it got the payment down even further than what they wanted. Simple interest contract, you know, they can pay it off whenever they get ready, and it all works out. I mean, every time, we just have to have the opportunity.
All right, well, tell folks how to find you.
You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. You come see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. We had a gentleman the other day looking to sell an old vehicle that belonged to his father. Sent us a lead in on our website, and hopefully we got together and gave him a decent price, and we'll find out whether or not we're purchasing the vehicle from him this afternoon.
Good stuff. David, we'll check back soon.
Night, buddy. Have a good day, Sean.
Okay, there goes David at LCM Motor Cars. And good to get this man back on the show. And yes, it's cliche. I get it. It's been too long. It really has been too long. Dr. Andrew Gentry, paleontologist, and bon vivant man around town, joins us to talk fossils. Hey, Drew.
Hey, how are you, Sean? Thanks for having me on.
Man, it's always a pleasure. You know, we started talking about fossils and how old some of the fossils. I remember one time you and I were talking. I was turkey hunting up near Selma, and I was digging, you know, these shells out of chalk banks, and we're talking about how old those were. And, you know, I was kind of impressed. And then you said, but, Sean, there's a lot older fossils in Alabama, and you got another one of those to talk about today. How old are we talking about this leatherback sea turtle fossil?
So this leatherback was actually dated by the Geological Survey of Alabama. It is 32 million years old.
30?
And I know that a lot of people probably, you know, I hear a lot of people question, you know, how in the world could they figure that out?
That's yeah, how can y'all figure it out?
All the time.
How can you figure it out, Drew? What do y'all do?
So it's a pretty lengthy process. You know, a lot of folks think we're just, you know, throwing out guesses at these things, but in reality, we do have scientists around the world that work to determine the ages of different rock formations, and they do so with a process called radiometric dating. And that's a really complicated science word that just basically means we look at the decay rate of the naturally occurring radioactive isotopes that are found in the rock. And we know the rate at which these isotopes decay from their unstable states to their more stable states. It's the same way that uranium decays because it's a radioactive isotope. There are these naturally occurring isotopes, so they look at the rate of decay of these isotopes, and then they basically just do simple math. It's not really complicated science. They look at the ratio of the more unstable version of these elements versus the stable version. We know the half-life, the amount of time that it takes for these things to decay, and we basically do simple arithmetic to determine how long it's been since that particular rock was formed. And so they come up with these numbers, and they're able to assign ages to all these different rock formations. And then we have somebody from the Geological Survey who comes out and confirms which rock formation this came from. And then they check back in the scientific record and go, okay, well, the radiometric date says that that rock formation is 32 million years old.
You know, it's crazy about a number like that, and it's almost too hard to picture. I'll be in here. I'll have Dr. Philip Carr on, and we'll be talking about, you know, Native Americans, and we go through the 15,000 years. Now we move back to 20 or 25,000 years, and my mind sits in races of, you know, what it looked like and the land mass at that point. But I got nothing for you, Drew, on 32 million years. What is going on planet Earth at that point?
So it's totally normal for us not to really have a concept for what a million years really is, because as humans, we're used to conceptualizing things in terms of our own lifespan. Humans generally don't live beyond about 100 years, so we're really good at imagining how long 50 years is or imagining how long 100 years is. But when you start trying to just imagine how long 1,000 or 10,000 years is, you're already sort of stretching the limits to what humans are capable of really conceptualizing. So when you start talking about a million anything, it's tough for people to understand that. A million, telling people to picture in their heads to picture $1 million. What does that look like? Or 1 million pennies even. That, you know, that's a huge number that we're just not accustomed to. So when you start trying to tell people to imagine what things were doing 32 million years ago and how long that really was, it's challenging. And so it's understandable that there's this sort of difficulty in imagining how long ago that really was. And so in Alabama, 32 million years ago, most of the southern half of our state was at the bottom of the ocean. We find fossil evidence of productive coral reefs. We find things like sea urchins and coral fossils and shark teeth and all of those things all over the southern half of Alabama. And over the last 80 million years, sea levels have actually been fluctuating and generally moving south. And so if you go in Alabama, basically as you go north, you're going backwards in time. The rocks are getting older and older the further north that you go in our state. And as you get closer to the coast, obviously they're getting younger. And so about 2 hours north of Mobile, the rocks there are between 30 and 33 million years old during a period of time known as the Oligocene. And it's a really cool period of time, and cool is a pun intended, because we were actually going into an ice age.
That's why the water was down, right? That's why the sea level had moved back out.
Well, the sea level at that point was actually further south than it had been, because back during the last part of the time of the dinosaurs, it was actually way further north. Mm-hmm. So places like Greene County and Hale County and Lowndes County, they were actually at the bottom of the ocean during the last part of the time of the dinosaurs. And so that's why people in those counties, you know, they frequently find seashell fossils and shark teeth. But you go further south, you're getting younger. And so here we are 50 million years later during the Oligocene, and we're getting into an ice age. And so we're coming out of this really tropical period of time, going into an ice age. And it's this period of time that we actually know very little about. And so it's really great to find fossils like this, because they tell us so much about what was going on in the environment during that time.
Yeah, I think about finding a fossil like this might be so big it hides in plain sight. And I want to talk about the discovery of this, because I think, and I'm just guessing, maybe the river they were on, but I spent a lot of time canoeing in some of those streams up there. And I'm always looking at shark's teeth, smaller things, right? Something
right.
that it says here, the fossil is 4 feet long and 3 feet across. I wouldn't even know what I'm looking at. That, you know, my eyes wouldn't even be tuned into something that huge.
Right, right. That totally makes sense. That's, you know, a lot of people say the same thing. They look at fossils, even the ones that have been recovered and are in museums, and they go, I would never have thought that that was anything special. And because it takes a trained eye. You have to be looking for these things for years and years. And it just so happens that the Coleman family, the family that actually discovered this fossil, they have been searching for fossils along the riverbanks during family fishing trips for years. And Adam Coleman, his father actually got him into fossil collecting when he was a kid. So this, you're talking 30 or 40 years that he's been looking for fossils along the riverbank here. And so he knows what to look for. He knows what's a fossil, what's a rock. And his father had an extensive collection of fossils that he had collected along the riverbank. And so Adam was very, very knowledgeable about what to look for. He had taught his wife, Adrian, what to look for. His two children knew what to look for. And his daughter, Taylor, is actually the one that found it. And so they had stopped during a fishing trip that they were on, and they had basically taken a break for lunch. They got out of the boat, and they were walking around on the riverbank, and his daughter found this very odd sort of dome-shaped thing on the side of a huge limestone boulder that was lying there on the riverbank. And she called everybody over, and they immediately knew that it was something strange, but they had never seen anything out on the river like that before. They had been finding the same stuff that you were talking about, like shark teeth and seashells. They had never found anything like that. And so they didn't quite know what to do with it. And they knew that it was something special, but they couldn't figure out exactly what or even who to tell about this discovery. So they reached out to apparently somebody at the University of South Alabama. They never heard anything back, and so they just sort of kept it a secret. They didn't really say anything else, and it became like their lunch spot. They would go fishing, and then they would just go visit this strange thing that they had found, and they would eat lunch next to it, and that was kind of it. And so almost a year goes by, and Adrian Coleman just happened to see a story about a research article on a fossil turtle from Alabama, and it happened to be by a paleontologist in South Alabama, and it was me. And so she said, okay, well, let's reach out to him and see if he can come take a look at this thing. And so I, in the fall of 2022, I get this random email saying, hey, we found this really bizarre-looking thing out on a riverbank. It was a couple of, you know, sort of blurry cell phone photos that came with it. And she said, we want to know if you'd be willing to come out and take a look at this. And, you know, we get a lot of, I get a lot of messages like that. I get a lot of people that, you know, they want to know what they found out in their field or out on the, you know, wherever they are. And so oftentimes it's just really weird-shaped rocks. Yeah. But
not in this case.
Not in this case. And so that, but I reached back out to her and I said, you know, sure, I'll go take a look at it. And so I met Adam, her husband. I met him out in, like I said, I don't know the exact geographic position of the middle of nowhere, but this had to have been somewhere close. And then we met at this boat ramp out there, and Adam took me by boat upriver a few miles to where they had found this thing. And when I walked up to the boulder, it was probably about 30 feet back from the water line. And I walked up to it, and I just remember just being absolutely stunned silent. I have been collecting fossils and studying fossils in the state of Alabama my entire life, and I've never seen anything like this.
So, I mean, I wanted your interpretation, because I'm not only collecting fossils, you've got a thing for turtles, turtle fossils. And this was like nothing you had ever seen.
It's exactly right. Yeah, my research specialization is actually in fossil turtles. Believe it or not, they fossilize really well because of their shell. So as a paleontologist, it's a great group of animals to study because, unlike a lot of things, turtles have a really a robust shell that fossilizes extremely well. So we have a fantastic fossil record of turtles. And so I have been studying fossil turtles professionally now for over a decade. And when I walked up, I immediately recognized what this thing was, that it was not just any turtle shell, that this was a leatherback sea turtle shell. And the reason that I was able to identify it so quickly is because leatherbacks have such a unique shell. It's totally different from every other type of turtle. Most turtle shells are made up of these big, flat bones that lock together to create the shell. Leatherback turtle shells are made up of hundreds of these little irregularly shaped bones called ossicles that are all linked together to create sort of this tile mosaic look. And it's incredibly unique. It's only leatherback sea turtles that have this really wild shell. But the thing is, those little ossicles are only held together by a thin layer of collagen. And a lot of people know what collagen is, and it's not very durable tissue. And so when leatherback sea turtles die, that collagen usually decays very quickly, and those ossicles fall apart. So usually what happens when we find fossil evidence of a leatherback sea turtle, it's in the form of one or two of these little isolated ossicles. You never get an intact shell.
Yeah, how did this one get preserved so well?
It was just in the perfect condition. It was buried in the perfect condition. So very, very rarely you will have a situation where an animal is buried very quickly after it dies. And it could have been due to there may have been a storm at the time. It may have been, I mean, we get tropical systems here. It may have been a storm that buried this animal very quickly. It could have just been a high rate of what's known as sedimentation. So marine snow, you get detritus raining down on top of whatever died, and it prevents scavengers from being able to get to it, because that's oftentimes what happens when something dies in a marine environment, is that sharks and predatory fish and all kinds of other things are going to pull it apart, and you're never going to get this intact thing. So this was just a perfect, perfect scenario where this thing was preserved, and the sediment that it was preserved in would harden into what became limestone. And so it gets even more incredible from there. It's not only that it was buried in these perfect conditions, but then it hardened into this giant limestone boulder, and then millions of years later, that boulder fell away from this cliff at the riverbank and cracked open at just the right spot so that the shell was actually preserved on the top of the boulder and visible so that the Colemans could find it.
What a bunch of circumstances to lead to that. And, you know, I always think about that when not anything that big. I never pictured it, but I'd be riding down a bank of a creek that I know there's fossils in. And I go, I wonder what's back there 10 feet in that dirt or something. You know, you just don't know.
You never know.
Wow. And so leatherback sea turtles, we got them today. But this one is a different species, I think I was reading.
It is. This is a brand new species. It's also a brand new genus, which is actually a whole level above being just a species. So you can have multiple species within the same genus. And this is actually a brand new genus of leatherback sea turtles. And so we spent, after we recovered the thing, we actually got it back to the lab, and we spent about 6 months comparing it to all of the other leatherback fossils that have ever been found anywhere else in the world. And after about 6 months of doing that, we were able to determine that this thing was completely unlike any of them. And so it is a brand new genus and species, and the species name we named Colemanorum, after the Coleman family. So they are now, they now have this species named after them.
Now, and we've got just about 2 minutes here before we have to wrap, but we've talked about it before that Alabama is a heck of a spot for fossils, and this seems to continue to be proven true with these discoveries. I mean, as, I don't know, people always think fossils, I'm going to be in some arid desert zone, you know, digging up in a western climate, but Alabama showed itself to be quite the fossil home.
Oh, it absolutely is. Alabama, a lot of people don't realize, Alabama is actually the number one state in the country for fossil diversity. We have a higher number of fossils from a higher number of different plant and animal species anywhere else in the United States. And we probably have one of the highest levels of fossil diversity of anywhere in the world. We are the El Dorado of fossils. We have more than just about anywhere else. We've been number one in fossil diversity for years and years now, and we keep having these incredible discoveries, and it's something that a lot of people, even that live here in Alabama, are not aware of. And that number one title is something that we should all be really proud of, because being number one in fossil diversity is a title that we won't lose just because Nick Saban retired.
Well said. And I'm excited with all these new discoveries, and truly got to get you back on the show soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Sean.
Always a pleasure. Dr. Andrew Gentry, paleontologist. Y'all go check out the stories. We can link them through. I think they're on our Facebook page as well. 32-million-year-old fossil. I thought stuff I found was cool. I got nothing on this.